This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Watch the greenbacks tumble. To USA Prepares. Frank's with us. Talking about small appliances, and Frank mentioned something very important, class, and you should do this. So if the plug that you put into your receptacle for your appliance doesn't seem to have a good, snug, smooth fit when you insert the plug, if it feels gritty, that outlet is probably worn. And look at the plug and see if it's pitted and if it's worn. And if so, you'll probably, when you're using that appliance, you'll feel that the plug and the wire, that the power cord that's connected just to the plug, getting warm. And if that's the case, then the receptacle is getting warm too, which means that there's a resistance that's increased, and it's a potential fire hazard. So if the receptacle plug connection doesn't feel smooth when you insert the plug, you probably have a problem. And they're easy to replace. You can do that yourself. You probably want to watch a video on how to do it. You want to shut off the circuit breaker. And for typically less than $2, you can replace that receptacle yourself. So watch a video on how to do it, and use the screw terminals, don't use the push-in terminals, and look at the colors. You'll see that there are three wires, a white wire, a black wire, and a
ground wire.
Bare copper wire. The copper wire goes to the ground, the bare copper wire. The white wire goes to the silver screw on the receptacle, and the black wire goes to brass. So it's easy to remember. Black begins with B, brass begins with B, and that's the color code to wire your receptacle correctly. And I don't pay $2 for receptacles. I buy them in the contractor pack. And I think the last time I bought them, they were $3.70 for 10 of them. So with inflation, I'm sure it's much more expensive now. It might be $10 for 10 of them, somewhere around there. Frank, back to you.
Well, just to continue with the concept here. So if you plug that in and you don't see that resistance, then it's going to create heat to the point that it could literally melt that contact point inside the plug where your cord from your appliance is attached to the actual plug. Then there it goes. Your appliances will not work. It's dead. And some of you will say, I'll just throw it out. Some of you will try to do something. Some will take it to a shop. But see, here is what we did in our little shop when someone brought in a small appliance. And as I said, the majority of our repairs were simply changing cords or changing plugs. And you can buy them, I'm sure, because we can buy them up here. But for our students who are a little bit more in terms of having their own things, a no-meter, a multimeter that has a voltmeter and no-meter and so on and so forth, there are what we call the test cords, that we call them a needle point test cords. And I'm sure you can buy them at Home Depot, whatever it is that sells these things. They're very, 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 very fine. They're like little needles at the end of the meter cords. And the concept there is you can literally pierce that extension cord wire and be able to do a voltage test. So the way that I would do it is I would unplug the appliance. I would have these cords with this needle nose points. I would break it into the protection cable of the cords. I would then plug it back in and check for voltage. If you don't have any voltage beyond that plug, easy fix. You've just saved yourself a small appliance. Huh? So, and that's when you ask how would I approach. So that would be the first thing that I would approach in repairing a small appliance. If that, you want to make sure that there's a voltage going into the appliance. If there is, then you're going to go further down the line. And this is probably the hardest part, Vince, is how do I get into this appliance? And then we'll have a whole class on major appliances, how to get into them, because it's like the second worst scenario is trying to get into them. But look for screws. Look for screws that you can take apart. Now, remember, you're dealing, let's say, your coffee maker, $25. So you're dealing with a $25 coffee maker. And so, you know, if you kind of do something wrong, well, that's not going to be the end of the world. But give it a try and look for those screws. Just start taking them up. And you could be pleasantly surprised that there's another burnt wire inside. And as you said last week, and I'm if our students were listening, most of these appliances for safety, they have this thermal fuse inside them, Vince. And you talked quite a bit. Maybe you can review that for the students that are listening to this. And a lot of times it's that thermal fuse that opens up. And why did it open up? Many reasons. You could have had that coffee maker on 24/7, and it finally got a hot enough that says, hey, this thing is getting too hot, so I'm just going to just open it up. And it can be an easy fix. You just have to get the right rating for that fuse, and they usually will say what temperature it opens up on. Do you want to review, because I know you talked about that with Kyle, I believe, or someone this week?
Sure. Class, a thermal fuse is a fuse that breaks based on temperature. So the idea of a typical fuse is one that breaks because of current. So much current goes through, more current than the fuse is rated for. So the fuse is literally a piece of soft metal that burns with heat. It's inside an enclosure, so you don't get spattered with metal that goes airborne. It will literally melt with heat. So the more current that goes through the fuse, the hotter the internal metal of the fuse gets, and it causes it to break, like a bridge breaking. That's exactly what it is. A metal electric bridge, and it collapses or it fails. Well, a thermal fuse does kind of the same thing, but it's based on temperature rather than current, and it fails intentionally based on a specific temperature that it senses. So there are thermal fuses in like dehydrators. And a dehydrator is a device that has a heating element. It heats the air. And if the air gets too hot, if the element is stuck on, the safety feature is the thermal fuse would recognize excessive heat and prevent the heating element from burning the plastic or the surrounding material that's combustible in a fire because of too hot of a temperature, meaning the thermostat failed or some other component failed. So that's what a thermal fuse is. And they're in all kinds of devices, like a coffee maker, and there are all kinds of thermal shutdowns. For example, if you have a welder and it has a 10% duty cycle, that means it's rated for being on welding 10% of the time, off 90% of the time to cool. If it gets too hot, there's a thermal shutdown device. It's not really a fuse. It's a breaker that will thermally shut down the welder so you won't overheat it. But then after it cools, it resets itself. But that's not necessarily the case of what we're talking about. We're talking about a fuse that blows. It's an inexpensive device. And I guess the logic is, heck, the coffee maker is only $100. Let's just have the customer buy a new one rather than replace the fuse, which is probably somewhere around 25 cents.
I guess the front part of the extension cord or the cord to an appliance. The back part, Vince, you would laugh at all my cords that I use my drills on. I literally, because I know that they will break, I know that one day I'm doing some drilling and that will fly off my hands and there goes the cord, there goes the drill. So I literally take, Vince, my cord from my drill and I do kind of an, I guess I'm going to call it a V8. I kind of make bend the cord so that it goes around the handle, and I use electrician's tape, and I make myself another handle, which is now supporting that cord from being pulled from inside the drill. I have drills for 40 years since I started my business, and they're still working, and I've never had to change a cord because it's being supported. Now, I know that there is, in Amazon, things like that, cord supporting mechanisms, but, you know, a $2 of electrician's tape has done me very well for all my drills that I use in my field.
Okay, so, class, we do the same thing. Slightly different approach.
Okay.
We use electrical tape, too. So we know that there's one flex point that's the weakest. And Frank's talking about an electric corded drill, like a 120-volt drill. So when you pick up that drill, the flex point is right near the handle of the drill. And that's where the cord flexes the most. That's where it's most likely to break. So he reinforces that with electrical tape to move that point a little farther down the cord and also allow a little bit of movement, but not as much. So more of the cord flexes. We have the same exact issue. And I use the electrical cord the same way. And I also sometimes use something called heat shrink tubing. So heat shrink tubing is you can buy it on the internet, you can buy it on eBay, and it literally is like a plastic sleeve. It comes in lots of different diameters and lengths and colors. What you can do is you can put heat shrink tubing over, well, if you have a plug, it's probably going to be difficult on the end of a cord, but if you're assembling a cord, you can put the heat shrink tubing on first, then you heat it with a heat gun, which is a little hotter than a hairdryer, and it will melt and shrink this plastic tubing, so it becomes like that reinforcing material that Mike talks about. And we use it for other things. Like, we have pliers that have rubber grips. Well, the rubber grips fail. So what we do is we rewrap the rubber grip that has, you know, got a slit or a cut in it before it gets bad. We wrap that with electrical tape. Then we put heat shrink tubing over the electrical tape, and then we heat shrink it all back on so that the electrical tape doesn't unravel. So a couple different ways of doing it, but what Frank's talking about is what would most people do with a drill that has a, you know, you plug it in, you have to squeeze the trigger, and it doesn't work. Or what would most people do? Would they have a power cord? Would they have a switch? Or would they just go to Harbor Freight and get another lousy one?
Lousy one.
My drills are 40 and 50 years old as well. No question about it.
Great.
Well, you can make them last if you do what Frank's talking about. And, of course, you don't want to leave them in the rain.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Thanks, James. And that's just a short detour. You know, we have a gas stove, and you may have a gas stove as well, and they have igniters in the oven. And so the idea is that this igniter is a small device, maybe 1 inch by 1 inch by, let's say, 3 inches long with a pigtail lead on it that is heat resistant. And it's at the bottom of the oven. And in order for a gas oven to light, a relatively modern one, when you turn on the controls to let's say, bake, this igniter glows red hot. It's a resistive element, kind of like a toaster element. It glows red hot, and it must come on and be sensed as on before the gas starts to flow to light the flame for baking. And it's a safety device. And those darn things break. They wear out. So that roughly $20, $25 part can prevent your oven from working if it's a gas oven. And it's a common part. You can get it on the Internet. You can get it on eBay. I keep three of them in stock now because they wear out. It's not that we use our oven very much, but they do wear out. And that's the kind of thing that's a showstopper. There's no cooking with gas in your oven if that $20 part fails. And it's held on by, maybe 10, 15 screws that you have to remove a plate to get to it. But you can do this yourself. Right, Frank?
Absolutely, Vince. And the beauty between you and I is I'll now tell our students the theory behind that igniter. Now, some of our students, like my hair with white hair, and we probably kind of remember the old pilot system in ovens. And you know, Vince, that was the best. Those old pilot systems where you had a little pilot at the end of the thermocouple and you turn it on and the flame will increase and then it bring the major element in. And that thing went for life. And they were so good because power outage, you could still use your oven and your top elements. But, of course, things have changed, so they now come with the igniter. So for our students to understand, yes, as Vince says, in the bottom of the element is this thing called we call the igniter. And that igniter is designed with two principles in mind. The first principle is to get it hot enough to be able to ignite the gas so you don't get an explosion. And I don't want to scare our students, but that's basically it. And so what happens is that it's a resistive device, but it's one of those interesting devices, Vince, that as it glows hotter and hotter, it reduces its resistivity, which then allows the main valve to the oven to come on. So those two things have to happen. Eh? So what happens a lot with those things, they start producing little cracks. And so it loses that ability to heat up to the ignition temperature, and also not enough resistance or decrease of resistance to bring the main valve on. So you could see it's an igniter there, and you say, well, my igniter is working. But the thing is, it's not heating hot enough. It's almost like it's a bright white ignition, or like when you look at it. And it is, I would say, 89% of my service calls in gas ovens, Vince. So it's a good thing that you have three of them. And it's something that if our students have a gas stove, by the model number, part number, eBay, whatever it is, get one or two, because it could just literally just stop your oven from working properly. So that's the mechanics behind it. So when the person has that problem, what are the symptoms? Most of the times is it's taking too long to reach temperature, okay? And the reason for that is it's taking so long for that igniter to reach the right temperature to turn on the main flame. The main flame on a good igniter should turn within 2 minutes the most. So if your igniter, if you see, you turn on your oven, you turn it on, and you see this glowing thing, and it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, then the igniter is most likely the problem. Okay. Was that a good explanation? A teacher's explanation how that works?
Absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News.
news update. The Federal Aviation Administration now investigating after a Houston-bound Southwest Airlines flight had to return to Denver on Sunday. About half an hour after taking off from Denver International Airport, the Boeing 737 made an emergency landing after an engine cover came loose and damaged part of the right wing. Emergency responders met the passengers on the runway, and the travelers soon boarded another flight that landed in Houston about 2 p.m. There were no injuries reported. Country music star Morgan Wallen now facing charges after police say he threw a chair from a rooftop bar in Nashville Sunday night. It just so happens a number of police officers were standing near where the chair fell on the sidewalk below. This about 11 p.m. when witnesses said they spotted Wallen throwing the chair and then laughing about it. Police are also reviewing security footage of the incident. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
It's going to be sliding.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Frank, I was thinking about what you're saying about pilot lights. And, you know, class, the old gas stove, whether it be propane or natural gas, had a pilot light. And this was a little tiny flame that was in the center underneath the cover, the top cover of a stove, and this thing would just stay lit 24/7. And what would happen is when you turned on the gas valve for one of your four burners, that light, that pilot light, would light it very quickly. So you might use maybe a dollar's worth of gas per year for that pilot light. And instead of having that, we have these sophisticated control systems that eliminate the pilot light. That, Frank, how much does it cost to fix the equivalent of an igniter, you going out there, bringing the parts? For, you know, what does it cost for someone to do the equivalent of repair versus having a pilot light?
Well, the pilot light system, Vince, in my case, was having enough strength in blowing air, because usually, I mean, I'm just joking a little bit, but most of the problems with pilot lights, they got a little bit dirty with carbon around it, and I use myself, I have a little nitrogen tank, but it could have been done anything. You could have even used a small brush. All you wanted to do is clean that that carbon that was building around that pilot assembly for many years before that actually even happens. So, and you know, I mean, like, I will see stoves that are 40, 50 years old, and you go in there, and it is a pilot system. But going back to, and for our students, you probably say, oh, well, I'll just get someone to come and change my igniter. Why am I going to bother all this? But Vince, Google or DuckDuckGo has been, I'm not going to say to me, but to our industry, the statement, keeping us honest. We can't. No, go up there and say, oh, it's going to be this much, because there's DuckDuck, Google, that you can literally do a little search. How much will it cost to do this? And it will give you a good approximation how much the job could cost you. Eh? And I just did that during our commercial. I said, how much to charge an igniter to replace igniter on the stove? For our students, you said that you can buy an igniter for about $20 at Amazon or Best Buy, whatever it is. They're saying, be prepared to spend $150 to $250 to change the igniter. Now, for our students, it's worth taking a Sunday afternoon and going in there and changing that igniter, because it's not complicated. It's one of those few things that I don't have to hold back in saying it's a complicated job. You basically copy what's there. Of course, make sure you unplug it. Always unplug a problem. When I was first on the industry, Vince, I would get a little lazy, and I said, oh, no, I can deal with this thing with the power on. I can take this plate off. But it would be the time that that plate would touch a wire, cutting you short. No, and double the repair is in my hand. So I don't care. Whatever appliance I'm working on, once I figure out what the problem is, I want that power off so I can work on it.
I agree with that. And, you know, it takes, maybe another whole minute for me to shut off the circuit breaker while I work on an appliance. And, Frank, here's a five-minute university tip. Many people have their circuit breakers labeled on the door. From the factory, there's a paper label, and it will show the circuit breakers 1 through 32, 1 through 40, whatever the panel may hold. And someone writes either in pencil or pen or Sharpie marker what that circuit breaker number 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. controls. I don't do that. I take a piece of either yellow or white electrical tape, and you can buy electrical tape in colors class, and I write right on the circuit breaker. I put a piece of tape that covers the exposed side of the circuit breaker, not the flip switch, but just, you know, roughly 1.5 inches long, and I write it on the roll before I unroll it, and then I cut it to fit, and I put this piece of tape right on the breaker. So I'm looking at the breakers. I'm not looking at the door panel, the inside door panel, for what that breaker controls. So, for example, in our kitchen, we have K for kitchen, and then circuit 1, K1, K2, K3, K4, K5, etc. Dining room, DR, dining room 1. Lights, Living Room, LR, LR Lights, LR, and then for the living room, I LR1, LR2, LR3, etc. Master Bedroom, MBR, 1, 2. That's how I do it. It's really easy to find what each breaker does. But that's how I label them. And then part of the 5-minute university lesson is on the switch plate, I'm sorry, on the cover plate for the receptacles, I write with a little really, really fine tip Sharpie marker. And most people would never do this because it's unsightly. But I write on the cover plate K1, K2, K3, DR1, DR2, LR1, LR2, those kinds of things. I know for sure what it goes to. And not only do I do that, on the inside of the breaker, I'm sorry, on the inside of the wall box, the outlet or receptacle or switch box, the plastic ones or the metal ones, I write with a Sharpie so I can see it exactly what that does. So typically on the left-hand side, I'll write K1 or K2 with a Sharpie. So if I take all the wall plates off, I still know what that circuit is labeled. And not only do I do that, in the breaker panel, I have each wire, I leave the Romex, let's say 6 inches long, inside the breaker panel, and I write what that circuit Romex cable goes to, K1, K2, LR1, etc. That's just the way I do it, and there's no question where they go. No question.
Yeah. That is a beautiful way, Vince, to do it. And because sometimes the labels and the fuse, the breaker, don't actually match, so you're forever guessing which one is actually the right one. Now, of course, I want to say I'm a professional. I have a little tool pouch that everybody makes fun of it, but Vince, in there is my phone, my little pliers. I can almost fix any appliance. I can do a lot of things with my little pouch beside me. But one of the most important parts that I have in that little pouch is a voltage tester. They're not expensive. Any of our students who are into repairing stuff around the house should have one of those as a safety precaution, because that's the second thing that I do. Customers shut off the breaker. Well, you can usually tell because things don't work as well. But as a second thing, I use my voltage tester. Yep, now I feel comfortable and confident, and I'm not going to shock. Now, you probably know this, Vince. 120 volt shock is not that bad. You know what the worst is moving away from that little shock because you move that hand, and before you know it, you have a cut in your hand because you've touched another metal or something like that.
and there's no preventing it. So for example, class, if you're going to get an electric shock from 120 volts, you can't say, no, I'm not going to move my hand. It's an involuntary response. Your body is going to jerk away from that electrocution. So you can hurt yourself by being near a sharp object, within a couple inches of where you're getting that shock. And what Frank is talking about, I believe, is a non-metallic contact voltage tester. And we have a couple of those here. And it's like the size of a Sharpie marker, actually a little bit fatter than that, but about that length. And you can buy them on the internet. They're made by a lot of companies, Fluke, Klein, Cooper, a whole bunch of companies, including no names, that are available on eBay. And like $5, $10, $15, if you get a name brand, it's going to cost more than that. But what happens is there's a tip. So think about it, it's like this. Think about a Sharpie marker and you remove the cap, okay? And you put the tip against the black wire that you want to test in your breaker panel. If it goes beep, 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 you know that that wire is hot. Now, it's not like a marker that leaves, a mark. It's like the point of a marker, but it's a plastic tip. It is a non-metallic contact. So you are not literally testing the actual voltage. You're testing the voltage through the insulation, through insulation. You don't have to take the wire nuts off or touch any metallic contact of the wiring system. It's a great way to go. And what Frank is saying, I actually do exactly the same thing. So let's say I ask Mrs. Finelli to shut off a breaker. And I say, would you shut off K1, please? And so she goes to the panel, shuts off K1. Now, I absolutely believe that she got K1. But I verify it with a non-metallic contact voltage tester. So, you know, she may think she got K1. Maybe it's K3. And I'd be working on a hot circuit. So she gets it right all the time, but I verify it. And that's what you're talking about with your customers, right, Frank?
Absolutely, that's some verifying. I would go one step further. This non-contactless voltage tester, I would shop around for one that has a bit of a extension in the tip of it, so that you can literally also use to touch your check your plugs. Okay, so and that's what I look for in mine. I think mine is a client, but it doesn't really matter. When you're shopping for these, you want to look for the tip that has a bit of extension that you can see it in your mind's eye that will fit into a plug to make sure that it is working, not working. And of course, I'm sure your codes up there are very much like our codes up here. When you look at an outlet, there's a small slot, a big slot, and a round slot. And I'm sure our students do this, but it's nice to repeat it. The small slot is where your line actually is. That's your black wire. That's where your voltage coming through. Your longer plug is your neutral wire, which creates what we call the potential difference between the line and neutral, okay? And, of course, the round one is the ground plug. And with that in mind, Vince, I'm getting very excited and the time is like coming to an end, but we can repeat that. I hear a brick coming up.
Yeah, and Class, just to repeat, if you look at the receptacle, you'll see that the blade that goes into the receptacle, there's a shorter one and a longer one in terms of height. Mm. The shorter one is the one that's hot. That's the black wire. The longer one is the white wire, which is the common or the neutral, and the round one is the ground. That's what Frank's talking about. He's talking about the tip of the...
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won.
I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
That's what Frank was talking about, is found one on eBay, $6.95. That's going to be a cheap one, and it's going to be maybe not the one you want, but you can look at the picture of it. It says voltage electric tester, AC, no contact or non-contact tester, 90 volts to 1,000 volts. And what Frank was talking about, the main feature is that it has a protruding tip. And this tip would be like one of the blades of a plug for an appliance. It's about that size. The idea is that you can very gently push it into the smaller side of, or the smaller size of the receptacle, and to sense if that receptacle is energized or not. So that's what Frank was talking about. And that's what I do here at the farm if I want to test. It's a great little tool. It does require two AA battery cell or cells, two AA cells. Frank, back to you.
Yes, back to me. Don't know if our students would know this, but small appliances have obviously a cord for your thing, but that cord is very special, and Vince, I've seen so many people do the wrong repairing of that cord. For our students, after we finish our class, go and check it out. The cord that comes from a small appliance is usually just the two plugs, the small and the large one, as we've said before. But the cord itself, there's one side of the cord that has a rib, like it's like a bit of an indentation. Are you familiar with that, Vince, at all, or is that something new for you?
No, absolutely. It either has one, we're talking about like a flat lamp cord class, or a
that's right.
appliance cord for a, let's say, a toaster or a small device, not a microwave oven. That would be a grounded one, but
yeah,
one that
yeah.
does not have a grounded plug.
Ground.
One
that's
of
right.
those wire, one insulation. You can feel a rib on it. The other one is smooth. That's what Frank's talking about. Frank, please continue.
That's right. Yes, and so that's very important because, see, let's look at a light socket. Okay, you have a light socket with the light inside part is where the voltage should be, and the outside was the neutral should be. See, that's for safety. So what manufacturers have done is with this little rib in this cord, it means that that's where your neutral part of the plug should be connected in. And most people don't even know that that rib exists, and so they'll go out and buy a plug and put it onto the cord, and they will change which one is the line and which one is the neutral. So looking back to the light socket, what you've done is you've actually made the outer part, which is the part that you could touch very easy, be live. And, of course, could get your shock. So it's an interesting little concept, Vince, but a lot of people don't know about that. However, our students will now know that if they're repairing a cord from a small appliances, make sure that that ripped part of that flat cord is actually the one that goes to the neutral part of the plug. So do you have anything else to add to there, Vince?
Frank, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there's a 50-50 chance, class, if you didn't know that, you would get it right. 50% chance of getting it right. Because there's the hot side of that power cord, which would be the black side, which is not ribbed. And then the white side, if it were a white, if you were looking at the receptacle from the back of the receptacle, the white side would be the ribbed or the neutral or the common. So what you should do before you cut off that power plug is mark which side goes to the larger prong of the power plug. And that way you'll be sure to get it right. I mean, Frank, the plugs, replacement plugs, I don't know if they are all marked, you know, which is, it should have a, if it has a wire, a screw, it'd be a brass screw and a silver screw. So the brass is the hot, the brass is the black, and the silver is the white, because silver is closer to white, and black is closer.
And I would not change any plug without having the small and the wider contact, because that's foolproof for our students to make sure when they plug that in, it's going to be plugged in the right place with the right voltage. Because there's a lot of appliances that the neutral is connected to the frame. Now, that's all theory. But for our students, in simplicity, is if we do what we're saying, then you're going to be safe. And, Vince, I'm telling you, a lot of information given out today.
In class, this all happened around the 1960s, the early 1960s, when these changes were made to the receptacles and the plugs for your safety. And I support and I endorse the code change from the 1960s. I lived through that evolution, and it's the right thing to do. So pay attention, and you can look this up, and it's in Black & Decker's Complete Home Wiring. An excellent book. It's going to teach you pretty much everything you need to know about wiring. Black & Decker's Complete Guide to Home Wiring.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.